This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play!
Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races, and he stays on his feet.
This is going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
We've got big, big news to cover today with rankings, risers, and fallers after preseason week one, plus some injuries, including Breece Hall leaving with a non-contact injury that I saw reported as a groin injury. This just happened 20, 30 minutes ago, so we're gathering information. But Jeremiah Love with the high ankle sprain, Christian McCaffrey still out due to tightness or maybe something else, and who stood out in the preseason? Who's on the rise? Who's moving down in the rankings? Who's with me? Yeah, Dave's here. Hey, Dave.
I'm starting to really look forward to drafts that matter. They're coming up in the next couple of weeks. Hopefully everybody else will be just as psyched as I am.
I have my best ball flex draft today, actually. Probably starting now, so they matter. Jamie, what's up?
Yo.
Oh, good stuff. Heath.
I've had two drafts that matter in the last 5 days, and I am looking forward to more of them.
What was the best pick you made in those two drafts? One pick.
The best. We're going to find out. We'll let you know in about 4 months.
No. The one that you feel the best about. I'll rephrase.
Yeah, I don't.
Zay Flowers in round one. Come on, he did it.
There we go.
Hot off the presses. I hate Zay Flowers this year. Just letting y'all know.
Oh, Heath, did you see the flaw in your bet?
Wait. No, I can't.
That was a great flaw in the bet, but I think it's important. I went back just to listen this morning because I knew this was going to come up again. and I just wanted to hear what Adam said. Literally it was any bet you want.
Yeah.
Yeah. Devontae Smith will outscore Zay Flowers. And you name the stakes.
Yeah, I know. It was showmanship. Listen, I'm happy to get back into that, but we got a big show. Let's get to it right here. So, by the way, we were going to do how to draft from each position in the draft today, but so much news here, including, you know, a little bit of a history of how players perform after suffering a high ankle sprain, because that's what Jeremiah Love has. I wanted to make sure we spent enough time on that. So we're going to push that to Wednesday. Breece Hall left Monday's practice with a non-contact groin injury. And the funny thing is, Jamie, he had, based on usage, now Isaiah Davis didn't play, but Breece Hall had a very encouraging preseason game. He played something like 11 of 12 snaps with the starters. He played on third down. Again, no Isaiah Davis. But, you know, he was treated as a workhorse there. But I don't know. Does it even make sense to react to this one, or should we wait until tomorrow until we get more news, Jamie, for Breece Hall?
I mean, we're still a little bit away from the majority of drafts happening, so we could probably wait to get a full idea of what he's dealing with. Hopefully we get something before the end of the show. That would be ideal.
Yeah.
We have lots of shows going on, so by Tuesday we'll hopefully know. By Tuesday night, same thing. Look, it sucks. This is the nature of this game that we love, right? Fantasy and reality. That's just that, you know, we're dealing with injuries across the board, you know, even Jamal Adams getting lost for the season. You know, that sucks, you know, and just seeing how these things unfold. Between Jeremiah Love and Breece Hall, it's, you know, two running backs that were going in the round three range, you know, beginning part of round three to the end of round three. And that's going to, you know, push up some guys behind him, the Cam Scataboos, the Quinshon Judkins, the DeAndre Swift type guys, Travis Etienne, and make it probably a little bit more of a priority if you're picking toward the back end of round one to take two running backs first. So you know, hopefully we'll get these guys right. And then the flip side of this is Braylon Allen could be a big winner. Tyler Algier could be a big winner, especially early in the season. These guys are going to miss any time.
All right. And that's Brett's Breece Hall. We'll see what happens. Hopefully we'll get an update soon. Kyle Monongai left practice yesterday with a knee injury, but it is apparently not serious. What's interesting is that DeAndre Swift in the first five games, when Kyle Monongai had only 22 carries, DeAndre Swift was on pace for 238 carries. In the last 11 games, DeAndre Swift was on pace for 237 carries, and that was with Kyle Monongai getting a lot more than that. He was on pace for 187 carries in those games. So they just started running the ball so much more. If they kept that philosophy and only had one of those guys, it would be, you know, it'd be pretty exciting for fantasy.
We have an update from Aaron Glenn already.
All right, what do we got?
Breece Hall suffered a strained groin today per Aaron Glenn, this according to Schefter. I don't think it was a big deal, Glenn said.
Okay. So if he were out.
Now, LaFleur also said the same thing about Love. So keep that in mind.
If Breece Hall were, in the wake of the injury to Love, he downplayed it. That's what coaches do this time of year. They don't have to
say. By the way, we have two probably of the most annoying things that we're going to deal with is Robinson and Robinson on the Falcons and LaFleur on Love.
Yeah, it's gotten, you know, wasn't supposed to be a big deal. He's going to be out a week or whatever. Now he's got a high ankle sprain and they can't commit to Jeremiah Love in week one. Heath, if Breece Hall were out, what would that mean for Braylon Allen and Isaiah Davis?
Out for how long?
Let's just give me, I don't know. We don't know the severity of it. It's right now, based on what Aaron Glenn said, I'm going to assume he's back week one. But if he's not, I mean, how much would you like them?
Like, I would prefer Braylon Allen. He had obviously a very nice run in the preseason game. He is the one I have ranked higher. I moved him up a little bit. So he's in the round 14-ish range. He might move up to the round 13 or 12 range if we thought Breece Hall was going to miss one game. But it's just, it doesn't sound like it's anything that's going to cost Breece Hall a month. And so I'm not going to move him up much higher than that.
Heath, would you recommend if Adam were to take Breece Hall in his draft today, Monday, that he spends a late round pick on Braylon Allen just in case until we know?
I still wouldn't put Braylon Allen ahead of the other handcuffs that I like more.
Fair.
So I'm not going to move him ahead of those guys just because I drafted Breece Hall.
Right.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. Christian McCaffrey still not practicing due to tightness. But Dave, what do we see at Pro Football Talk speculating this could be contract related?
Which we don't know. It's purely speculation. And it sounds like, this is a situation where the coaches are downplaying it. Clay Kubiak basically downplayed it to the media. It's been a week, and the 49ers don't play a regular season game for like 3.5 weeks. So I'm not worried yet about McCaffrey. And I haven't moved him down yet, but the time could come if week to 10 days from now, it's still tightness. There isn't any other talk about it being contract related. At that point, I think you've got to really look at it and say, all right, there's a chance McCaffrey is dealing with something that could linger.
Okay.
I moved him down already.
Same.
So just where? Because he was out for a week?
Well, I mean, I was already concerned to begin with. And so it's just, you know, further reason to downgrade him. And so this is, I mean, look, it obviously could be contract related. That's a fair speculation, but this is the same, you know, you want to call it tightness. I'll just call it vagueness. Same thing that we dealt with 2 years ago with him where it was, oh yeah, his calf. It's fine. Yeah,
it's fine. It's fine.
By week 10, he's missed the majority of the season with an Achilles injury. So, you know, there's enough of a history here where, you know, Adam brought this up all the time in the flip side of this. If you're worried about McCaffrey, why shouldn't you be worried about Taylor with what his numbers were and James Cook with what his situation could be and Chase Brown, all those things? Well, it's the same thing. So I just put those guys ahead of McCaffrey because I think there's as much risk and maybe not as much upside, but I don't know, certainly much more downside.
Okay, Jeremiah Love, high ankle sprain. We've got Tyler Algier, Corey Kiner, and Bam Knight right now in the Arizona running back rotation. James Conner and Trey Benson are also injured at the moment. So they definitely have a thin running back room, even though, which is ironic because they had like the deepest running back room for a while, or one of the deepest. But all right, Heath, what's your reaction to Jeremiah Love? I sent out an email this morning. Let's get some rankings, risers, and fallers. Nobody put Jeremiah Love on the fallers list yet.
That was obvious. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Okay, so he did fall for you, Jamie?
Yeah.
But not for Heath?
I had him at the 3-4 turn before the injury. I was kind of expecting kind of a slow ramp up to start of the season with Tyler Algier touching more ball more than I thought. And I think the biggest conflict for me was watching Jeremiah Love in that game. My thought was, oh no, I'm way too low. I've got to move him up. And then he suffers the injury. So it was kind of like competing forces. I'm just going to leave him at 3-4 turn.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah, it was. He looked so good. But Jamie, where'd you move Jeremiah Love to?
Right to where Heath has him. Back into round 3.
Dave?
He was middle to late round 3 to begin with for me. Now he's like even closer to the 3-4 turn. Let's keep in mind that he didn't do anything against the Raiders starting defense. When he did get his big runs, it was against the Raiders backups. Two of his big runs, 8-plus yards, came on the back of Chase Bisantis, who's now out for the year. So I'm a little bit nervous about, like, pumping him up after the game and then hearing about the high ankle sprain. I don't want to overreact to that either, so I'm just trying to stay as even keel. But faced with the decision of Jeremiah Love versus Kyren Williams, I'll take the safer running back in Kyren Williams.
Javonte Williams or Jeremiah Love?
Javonte.
Love. Right now, Love, but that'll change depending on how this timeline goes.
And Dave said Kyren. Heath, Kyren, or Love?
I had Kyren one spot ahead of him, and I would have changed that if he hadn't got hurt in that game probably, but I'm sticking with Kyren one spot ahead of him.
Kyren ever ahead of Love.
Yeah, so I think the question here is, look, maybe he misses a game, maybe he doesn't, but is he going to be himself? So just some history with high ankle sprains. So Saquon Barkley has had at least two of them. 2019, week three, he's averaging 6.4 yards per carry up to that point. He gets a high ankle sprain, Saquon Barkley. He misses three games. He comes back. He averages 4.3 yards per carry in 10 games. Saquon Barkley, fast forward to 2023. Second game of the year, he gets a high ankle sprain. He's averaging 3.9 yards per carry at that point. That's exactly what he averaged in the 12 games after. Jonathan Taylor, 4.8 yards per carry in the first four games of 2024. And then he had a high ankle sprain. He missed three games. So Barkley missed three games. Then Barkley missed three games. Then Taylor missed three games. You get the picture here. And he averaged 4.7 yards per carry, which 4.8 before the injury, Jonathan Taylor, 4.7 after in 10 games after returning. CeeDee Lamb last year had the high ankle sprain in week three, the very, very beginning of week three. I believe he missed three games. I will confirm that. Yes, he did. He missed three games, and then he came back, and he was awesome. Yards per target, yards per catch were basically career highs or close to career highs for CeeDee Lamb. Maybe it's different for a running back than it is for a wide receiver. But the three-week timeline is pretty much week one, right? So maybe it's not that big of a deal, but you just never know how these guys are going to perform coming off injuries. All right, so
but it's all of it for him, though. It's the potential missed time. It's the competition for touches, assuming that everybody's healthy. And I don't think it needs to be all three guys being healthy in terms of Connor and Benson, but probably two of them. And it sounds like Connor's close. But there's also just the Algier factor by himself, that's going to be somebody that most likely steals touchdowns, as we've seen him ruin another pretty high-profile rookie running back. Dave mentioned the offensive line, you know, injury already. We have a tough schedule on our hands to begin with. Like, there's just a lot of things that he has to overcome. And, yes, it was against the Raiders. It was against Raiders backups. He passed the eyeball test. He certainly passed the workload test. He failed the workload test because of what LaFleur did to him. He didn't need to be out there for this, and that was part of the problem is that, okay, you saw enough. You didn't need to keep him out there for as long as you did. I just think, like, you got to sort of keep it in perspective of the upside could be awesome. Like,
yes,
to me, it was the work in the passing game that I wanted to see, and it was there. And so that was encouraging. I think that there's going to be a sluggish start no matter if he misses a week or two. So if you're drafting him with the idea of, okay, this could still be a league winner, I get that because their schedule does lighten up a little bit in the back half of the season. And as we talk about all the time, so many injuries are going to occur for defensive players that defenses aren't going to look the same based on rank lists going into the start of the season. But when you start to stack them up with, I think a fair comp right now is obviously Josh Jacobs, who's missing time with a groin injury. Like, you know, these guys were sort of in a similar range. And so 28, 29-year-old Josh Jacobs, however old he is, you know, coming off a little bit of a down year for him, dealing with his injury and the potential suspension, like that's a good, okay, who has more upside versus downside question. Kyren Williams with the Blake Corum factor. I think Javonte Williams is certainly within this range of, you know, discussing. And now Breece Hall, who's probably going to fall behind these guys if this is a long-term injury, or at least going to miss any time due to injury. You know, so those four or five guys, you know, I think sort of come into play anywhere from the middle to the end of round three, early part of round four. Basically what we see, it is what we see based on ADP. So there's a lot of question marks with just that group. And really, if you want to go the safe route, like probably Dave is doing, Javonte maybe over the other injured guys, and Kyren just based on his history makes a lot of sense.
All right, a few more news items here. Jordan Tyson has no timetable for his return from a hamstring injury. We'll talk about that with risers and fallers. DJ Moore hurt his ankle, but apparently he is good to go. Alec Pierce is not expected to practice this week. Is anyone drafting Alec Pierce in the top 100?
Yes.
I think I've got him in the 90s.
Yeah, he's in the 90s for me too.
Okay. Tucker Kraft thinks he'll be on a snap count until mid-season. This is a guy who ran 80% of the routes and played 91.5% of the snaps in weeks 1 through 8 before tearing his ACL. So this was not a part-time player, Tucker Kraft. Is anyone moving Tucker Kraft down based on this?
No.
No.
Kind of still factored into him being tight end 7 for me was, again, kind of an expectation of a slow start to the season.
And George Kittle is hoping to play in week 1. And we will take a quick break here. Before we do that, though, we have a mock draft tomorrow night, Tuesday night, 7 p.m. 7 p.m., guys? I'm not on it, so.
8 p.m.
8 p.m., there we go. Glad I asked. 8 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow night, youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday. And we still have 4 spots available. $50 to get in. It all goes to St. Jude. tinyurl.com/fftdonate2026. That's our draftathon page. tinyurl.com/fftdonate2026. Join the mock draft for Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. Join the FFT Open. If you wanted to be in Ian Harditz's division, there is now an open spot. Someone actually bought 2 accidentally. So there is now an open spot there in Ian's division. And we're kind of running out of spots, but the draft is in a week. So hopefully we can sell out these leagues pretty, by the end of the week. If not, we'll figure something out. But we've done a great job there. You've been amazing, and so appreciative of all your generosity. You can also bid if you click on the auction houses section. Bid to be in the podcast leagues. Bid to be in the elimination league. The Beyond the Box Score Dynasty League. All those great things. And we'll be right back with more rankings, risers, and fallers on Fantasy Football Today.
My companion for this summer season has been ZBiotics. Let me tell you why. Just headed out to a concert at Pier 17. Houndmouth, what a show. I got home at 3 a.m. and I realized 8 a.m. tea time. What am I going to do? I got a big match. No worries at all. I took ZBiotics the night before, had a few drinks, woke up the next day like nothing happened, got to that course at 7 a.m., warmed up, and won my match. ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to break down acetaldehyde, a byproduct of drinking alcohol. Pre-alcohol produces an enzyme that is designed to break down this byproduct. Make pre-alcohol your first drink of the night, drink responsibly, and enjoy your next day activities. ZBiotics has sold more than 14 million bottles and earned the trust of thousands, including us. Try for yourself today, and if you are unsatisfied, they will refund your entire order, no questions asked. Head to ZBiotics.com/FFT. Code FFT for 15% off your first order.
So I do want to get into rankings, risers, and fallers, but I was all prepared to talk about drafting from different positions. So I just want to bring something up real quick. I went back and looked at the last 5 years, and I think if I kept going back, it would be the same thing. This is the cheapest that the quarterback position has been in such a long time in terms of average draft position. Right now on Fantasy Pros, and it's pretty similar on CBS, Josh Allen is going 24th. Lamar Jackson is going 42nd. Drake May, Joe Burrow, 52nd and 54th. Jaden Daniels, 61st. Jalen Hurts, 66th. So that is 2 quarterbacks off the board by pick 42. By pick 50, only 2. In 2025, the first 5 quarterbacks were off the board by pick 35. Same thing in 2023. 2024, the first 4 quarterbacks were off the board by the 37th pick. I could go on and on, but it is just, it is crazy how discounted these quarterbacks are.
So yeah, I have one question about that, because Jamie, you write the ADP review every week. And you will remember better than I do. My impression is that every week we get closer to the season, the quarterbacks will get drafted higher because more normal people start drafting their fantasy football teams.
And I was just going to say, you now have some pretty significant injuries impacting round 3, especially if Emeka Abuka's toe injury is a problem too. I think we see the quarterbacks get pushed up now, and probably not to the same level that we have in years past, but I do think we're going to see Lamar probably creep into round 3. Right now he's around 4 pick. I think we're going to see probably Drake May, Joe Burrow, Jaden Daniels, those guys start to get pushed up a little bit. I do think, though, look, we're in a very oversaturated market of fantasy analysts right now, more so than ever before as well. And so you're getting hit over the head by the people who play this game either, casually or significantly. And so they're understanding more and more, like, okay, I can wait for this position, no matter how many times we've said it for, 10, 15 years, the injuries start to happen and it's like, okay, I know that guy's safer and I can probably get Quinshon Judkins a round later than I have to reach for Jeremiah Love right now.
Yeah. All right. Well, whatever the reason may be, I also wonder if people are just looking at the late round quarterbacks this year and
of course them
more, but more than ever or more than yeah. recent, you know, that
I'll be really interested to see where it's at 3.5 weeks from now.
Me too.
Cause Josh Allen's been a pretty steady riser.
Right.
All right. So let's get to the rankings movers here. The riser. Speaking of risers, Jamie, this is related to the Jordan Tyson injury. Chris Olave is a riser for you. So is Cleveland wide receiver Casey Concepcion, who had a touchdown in the preseason game this past weekend, and Denver running back Jonah Coleman. But, all right, give me your thoughts on the Saints situation. I'm also curious to know if you moved up Juwan Johnson and or Devon Vele, but you start with Olave.
I did move up Juwan Johnson. Didn't move up Olave, too. He was in that sort of wide receiver bunch for me. Behind Jeremiah Love, you know, prior to the injury. But, you know, middle of round three. Now he's basically bumping up to round two and maybe a round two pick. It really is dependent on how long Jordan Tyson's going to be out. There was never a doubt that Chris Olave is going to be the best receiver for the Saints. Tyson was having, by all accounts, a great training camp and looking explosive and looking like a guy Tyler Shuck was leaning on. And you've heard me say this a lot. Last year, the numbers with Rashid Shaheed, without Rashid Shaheed, not necessarily overly dramatic, and again, ties into Tyler Shuck when he started, but he definitely played better when Shaheed was out. He averaged 9.9 targets per game in the 7 games after Rashid Shaheed was traded, and so averaged over 20 PPR points per game after Rashid Shaheed was traded. So if he's going to be essentially a solo act for however many weeks this could go on, and we don't know when Tyson is going to return, this is another one that could linger into the start of the season based on the initial reports, but it's a guy that has hamstring and knee injuries dating back to college, so it may not be the only time that he's going to miss, and you would imagine the Saints are going to be very cautious with him, especially if they're winning games early in the season. So I think for Olave, he's now, you know, I've kind of been, I don't want to say all over the place, but bouncing around between that 11-12 wide receiver spot. Olave now firmly inside the top 12, and again, somebody you can consider taking in round two. Juwan Johnson moved up into the top 15 tight ends for me. He was just outside that group, so bumped him up a few spots also, just because, again, he was very successful for the Saints. Tyler Shuck, Kellen Moore last year. We'll see if Oscar Delp, what kind of role he plays, you know, in limiting that. But I think as we see with rookie tight ends, when there is somebody established there, it takes them a little bit of time. So I still think Juwan Johnson's the featured tight end for this team. And then if you want me to go on with the other guys?
Well, with Olave, I just want to know like how difficult this is of a decision to make when you don't have a timeline for Jordan Tyson, because you'd hate to be like, oh yeah, he's my wide receiver 11 or whatever, and then, oh, Jordan Tyson's going to be ready by week two or something, and you're dropping him with a few spots or whatever.
So it was basically, he was like never lower than wide receiver 14 for me. And so it's just easy to say, okay, if there is a delay in Jordan Tyson getting on the field at the start of the season because of this, I can't sit here and say Devontae Smith is in a better spot than Chris Olave right now, because Smith has been missing so much time with a hamstring injury. Not that expected to linger, but again, you know, you start to nitpick when you're close between a player or two. Abuka was another guy that was in the mix for this spot too. And now he's got this toe injury that can linger. So Olave, coming off a very strong, you know, week of practice last week, coming into a situation where he could just get even more opportunities. So I don't think there's any reason to shy away from him. Not that most people were. I was just a little bit concerned because the presence of Tyson and what he had been doing, just downgrading Olave a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Go on with the rest of your risers then.
Yeah, so the Browns quarterback situation sucks, and that is not going to change this season. But I do like the fact that they're going to manufacture touches for Concepcion. You know, you got that coming into the game. You saw it in the game. You got it coming out of the game. Like, they just want to get the ball in his hands as much as possible. Nobody ever doubted his explosiveness. I think just, you know, the way that he scored, the contact balance, the ability to, you know, show a little bit of a physical presence, backing up everything that you heard in camp, just easy to move him up about 10 spots in my rankings at receiver and about 20 spots overall in the top 200. And then for Jonah Coleman, it was, I moved him up a little bit following the J.K. Dobbins injury. You know, again, just being concerned about somebody that has missed at least 4 games in each of the last 4 years and significant time in a few seasons in that span. Coleman looked great, you know, 4 for 24. You know what it's going to be, I think, if Dobbins misses time, it's going to be a shared situation. But knowing Sean Payton, he's going to find a way to get Coleman on the field. So another one of these lottery ticket running backs. I think it was a good week. I don't want to step on anybody's toes, but it was a good week for a lot of rookies, receivers and running backs. You know, Emmett Johnson looked great. Mike Washington looked great. Coleman looked great. You know, so for these guys that you're just looking at with late round picks, especially with what we're talking about now with injuries, it's just easy to take, you know, late round flyers. Again, don't fill your bench with guys that aren't going to be – don't fill your bench with guys that you think are going to be relevant now. If you love your starting lineup, fill your bench with guys that are going to be relevant later. And these are the type of running backs that can do so.
All right, Concepcion or Alec Pierce? For all of you.
That's close right now. I think I might have Pierce ahead of him, but, you know, another week of missed time, missed practice time, that's easy to put Concepcion ahead.
Pierce. And I love Concepcion. I've been talking about him since the draft.
Okay, how about Jordan Tyson or Concepcion?
Concepcion.
Tyson.
Oh. Okay. Yeah, I think Cleveland sucks, right?
But if you're going to take a shot on somebody from a team that sucks, take a shot on the guy that's going to be used in a bunch of ways and get good target volume along the way, along with the occasional carry. Yeah. And if you're asking a receiver to run 7 yards and catch a pass, I think a quarterback can hit that. Even somebody like Shedeur Sanders or Deshaun Watson. If you're asking the quarterback to make tight window throws to the second and third levels of a defense while being pressured because your offensive line is filled with inexperienced tackles or over the hill veterans inside, then I think you'd be a little bit hard pressed to get good results out of those guys.
We still have a little bit of question about KC Concepcion and two wide receiver sets, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. He didn't play in them.
Right.
I don't think anyway.
And Denzel Boston did.
And Jerry Jeudy. So it's like Boston and Jeudy are your outside guys. Concepcion's your slot guy. I don't think Concepcion played in two wide receiver sets. I don't know. The people I think are going to go crazy over stuff like that. I would say if he's good enough, he's going to get on the field. He'll earn it.
Yeah, unless a team goes and has a game where they've got three tight ends in for 50% of the snaps. Maybe lower than that. Maybe
two tight ends can get you two wide receivers on the field.
Can also get you three wide receivers on the field.
If you didn't play a running back.
No, he did not, but it could hurt the running game too.
Yeah.
And this is a team that's probably going to be chasing points in a bunch of games.
Well, right. All right. Look, I mean, you're picking him 100th overall. I want to make sure we talk about Quinshon Judkins, because what we saw very briefly was kind of more of the same. It was a bit terrible offensive line and a guy that is going to really have to work so hard to get his yards. It was only 3 carries, I think. Also, he came off the field on 3rd down for Dylan Sampson. All right. So that's Jonah Coleman. Yeah. I mean, gosh, R.J. Harvey, I mean, it is worth mentioning. Dobbins didn't play, and R.J. Harvey was treated like the starter. I mean, he played a ton, you know. He should be, but he was such a bad rusher last year. I mean, this is just my personal opinion of all the running backs that I've watched on tape. I mean, I think the two that stood out as just being the absolute worst were Chuba Hubbard and R.J. Harvey, just based on last year. Hubbard's had better moments earlier in his career. Harvey just was, I don't know, I thought he was terrible, honestly, and I thought in this game, again, like he just doesn't do anything.
Which is reason to buy into Coleman.
Exactly. Like, but yeah, I don't know. We have to at least mention that Harvey was treated certainly ahead of Jonah Coleman and had a role in this preseason game that was awesome, that we would love if Dobbins were out. I guess we just mentioned it. There we go. But things will develop over time. Dave, Michael Wilson and DeJuan Stribling are your risers based on the preseason.
So we can question Mike LaFleur's decision to use Jeremiah Love as much as he did and then describe his injury in the days after all we want. But I don't think there's any doubting how LaFleur is deploying his receivers. And it's a lot better than how Arizona deployed their receivers last year. Lot more horizontal routes for both Wilson and Marvin Harrison Jr. They're going to challenge the middle of defenses, it seems like, play after play after play. And I know Marv had the touchdown, and Marv looked good too. He drew a DPI on a fade pattern, but I thought Wilson had a little bit more juice to him. And I changed the gap between Harrison and Wilson, and now I think they're both round 6 players. And ADP, at least the last time I looked at it, there was at least 15 spots between Marvin Harrison Jr. and Michael Wilson. And I don't think it should be that much. I think it should be a lot closer. And I would like to get the second of the two. And the second of the two is going to be Michael Wilson. So he's moved into like that top 75 range, especially in full PPR, especially for a team that I think is, still going to stink and throw the ball a lot in 2026. As for Stribling, he ran 15 routes. He had 8 targets. He had 7 catches. I can nitpick his feet being out of bounds in the back of the end zone, but I love the way that the 49ers used him. It felt like they were fast tracking him to the offense and trying to get him acclimated as fast as possible. The tracking on the deep ball and the size advantage that he had on the corner, all those things really mattered to me. And think about who he's playing with in San Francisco. It's Mike Evans, who's older. George Kittle, who's older and coming back from a big injury. Debo Samuel, older. Who's left that's younger in this passing game? I think that there's a real pathway for Stribling to be a focal point of the 49ers offense this year. I'd love the idea of drafting him relatively late, and certainly not as late as we were getting him before.
Cool.
I like the fact that they moved him all over the place too. Like,
yeah, you guys, yeah. No,
I think it's learn everything because you may play everything because of the other guys potentially missing time.
Mm-hmm. I will say on the Michael Wilson one, I was really conflicted because I did think the Arizona offense looked better than it did last year. We've heard a lot about Kendrick Bourne in training camp and how much he's going to be on the field. And we saw Kendrick Bourne getting run with the first team and Michael Wilson not playing all of the snaps. So I considered moving Wilson down, but I just left him in the same spot.
Same. Yep.
I don't know what to do with him.
Yeah, he's another guy who I think came off the field in two receiver sets a little bit or a lot. I'm not sure. Michael Wilson, I mean, they obviously didn't play that many snaps. But yeah, Kendrick Bourne playing a bigger role than we expected. That would be so stupid. I mean, what would be the point of that? Of taking Michael Wilson off the field for Kendrick Bourne when you just – didn't they just give Michael Wilson a contract extension? That would make no sense to me. Or have they not done that yet?
I don't think they did.
Okay, he's going. Okay, never mind then.
Yeah. So just to put it out there, 13 snaps. This includes penalties for the Arizona offense with Brissett. Marv was in on all 13. Bourne 10 of 13. Wilson 7 of 13.
Yeah.
It's I can weird. See how many of them were pass or run. All that stuff if you really want.
All right. You know what? But while we stay on that though, I mean, I guess I had this moment watching the Cardinals, and I try not to make too much of preseason, right? Guys look great, and I remember going to a preseason game a few years ago where Daniel Jones and Isaiah Likely were and Darren Waller were absolutely torching it, right? They were crushing the
Panthers. Great show. That was a great show.
And it didn't come to fruition.
Ironically enough.
Yeah, lessons learned. Anyway, I had this thought, like, maybe the Cardinals are just going to have a good offense this year. They've got a lot of really good players on the field. I hate the Besantis injury that Dave mentioned. This is their rookie second-round pick playing right guard, and he's out for the year. But maybe they're just going to, like, put up points like they did last year.
Imagine if the Cardinals and the Browns had quarterbacks. Like, their skill players are awesome.
But I think the Browns might kill for Jacoby Brissett at this point.
Right. I agree. I don't think
there's levels to it. But.
Yeah.
5 pass plays for Arizona with Brissett. Wilson on the field for all 5.
All right. They were 23rd in scoring last year. I wonder what they were with Brissett. All right, Heath, your risers are rookies. And that makes sense. I mean, the rookies are the ones that are playing the most here. But Mike Washington for the Raiders, Emmett Johnson for the Chiefs. These are handcuffed running backs. And Malachi Fields. I want you to know, you probably don't realize the mental anguish you caused me. It's not your fault. But in our dynasty draft, I was deciding between Oscar Delp and Malachi Fields, and I went with Delp, and you took Fields right after. And I've
been I could click the button.
Yeah, I've been thinking about it for weeks. But Washington, Emmett Johnson, Malachi Fields, risers for you.
It's funny, I talked about this on FFT Dynasty on Friday, but we have a feature coming out this week, I think, our must draft players, and we did 250 words on 3 guys that we just keep drafting. And funny enough, Mike Washington was one of the guys I wrote about on Thursday afternoon. Watched Mike Washington have that big run and get all the shine on Twitter, and then realized it's not going to publish until like 5 days later, and everybody's going to think I was just excited about a training camp run. But I just thought it was nice to see that he does, like, I kind of viewed him as a guy with huge upside and almost no competition if Ashton Jeanty goes down. And that's kind of what we want out of the handcuff running backs that we draft. And he flashed the huge upside and even played some first team snaps and looks like by far the clear RB2 in this offense. And so I moved him up just a little bit more. I had him in round 12. He's in right at the round 11 range. One of my favorite handcuff running backs. Emmett Johnson, very encouraging. Really weird also, because Breshard Smith was like the clear RB2. And then we got to see some Emmett Johnson, and then Amari DiMercato was playing fourth quarter snaps. I don't think Breshard Smith is holding Emmett Johnson off. I was afraid they would want the veteran on pass catching downs and maybe for some pass blocking. If Emmett Johnson's currently ahead of Amari DiMercato, then I think Emmett Johnson's going to be the Kenneth Walker handcuff. And I liked him a lot coming into the draft, kind of like Mike Washington, just disappointed with where he got drafted and the fact that he's just an obvious backup for the next couple of years. But if he gets a chance, I think he's going to be awesome. So moved him into my top 60 running backs. And then Malachi Fields was very, very good. Made a catch on a fantastic off-script Jackson Dart play, which if you're going to have success in this pass offense, I think you're going to have to do it off-script. And another guy that I liked beforehand, he flashed. Been a lot of talk at camp about him emerging as the clear wide receiver two for the Giants, and I didn't think that would happen this early.
Yeah, it's good stuff, and Neighbors is working his way back. Hopefully he'll start, you know, I don't think he's going to play in the preseason, but make more progress. But in the meantime, Malachi Fields taking advantage, and Heath's going to tell you why Isaiah likely is a faller. We'll do that in a little bit. I should have been asking more of the this guy or that guys, but would you take, I think this is an easy one, DeJuan Stribling or Malachi Fields?
Stribling.
Yeah. I have Stribling ahead, but it's not an easy one for me. I have him back to back.
Would you guys take Michael Wilson or Jordan Addison?
Wilson.
I have Wilson higher.
You're doing a great job of asking guys that I have back to back. I have Addison one spot higher.
All right. Would you take Michael Wilson or how about Jaden Reed?
Wilson.
Wilson, that's close.
Yeah, it's Wilson.
All right.
Wilson, Addison, Reed for me, and there's a pretty big gap between Addison and Reed.
All right.
I almost, and this is probably wrong, but like the guys who did what Parker Washington and Michael Wilson did last year at the end of the year that aren't rookies historically have not duplicated that the following year. Like it's been kind of a false signal and they get overdrafted. And I feel like you can't buy into both of them. Like maybe one of these guys breaks the trend, but I have a really hard time believing that both Parker Washington and Michael Wilson are going to break this trend of guys coming out of nowhere, having big 4 or 5 game stretches, and then just kind of going back to who they were before.
Yeah, I actually have like a list of out of nowhere. Let's see. Ready? Go to this little
spot. This is the out of nowhere list?
Out of nowhere, year 4 breakouts.
Can you show us in Notepad, please?
Out of nowhere, fourth-year breakouts over the last 15 seasons. So Christian Kirk, this was kind of like for a full season. Christian Kirk did it in 2021 with Arizona, and then he was pretty good with Jacksonville. George Pickens just had his out-of-nowhere fourth-year breakout.
I wouldn't put George Pickens in the same category as Parker Washington and Michael Wilson going into last year.
Agreed.
Right, because Pickens did it almost the entire year, pretty much.
Well, and Pickens had done much more than those guys before last year.
Fair. Yeah. No,
he was not out of nowhere. He was out of Pittsburgh.
Michael Crabtree had like a pretty ho-hum first 3 seasons, and then a huge fourth season. He never reached those heights again. He did have injury. Brian Hartline had a fourth-year breakout, and he actually followed that up with an 1,100-yard season in 2013. There haven't been that many. Jordy Nelson was a guy who did almost nothing his first 3 seasons, and then he had 1,200 yards and 15 touchdowns in 2011, and he just kept going.
I don't think this is what Heath is referring to, though. I think he's talking about guys who just had late season. Like
it was a good. I'm glad you got a chance to read that list, though.
Yeah, sorry. That was really more of an Alec Pierce list. That's how I made it for guys who had this like out of nowhere breakout in year 4. I think it was Alec Pierce. No, it was Wandale Robinson is who I made it for. Alec Pierce.
But Pierce applies.
Is he? He's going his fifth year or his fourth year, Alec Pierce?
Fifth year.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, so those are the two guys. It's like, can they keep it going? But thank you for letting me read that stupid list that had nothing to do with our topic. We'll be right back with Fallers after this. All right, let's talk about Fallers from preseason week one. Heath has Isaiah Likely, Mekhi Lemon, and Omar Cooper, and some of it's injury-related. Isaiah Likely, though, I guess you didn't like the snap share.
I didn't. There's been a little teasing about the tight end trio that Dave and I disagreed on six months ago, and now we've come closer on two of those guys, and Dave may be turning the corner on Kyle Pitts based on a tweet I saw over the weekend. But Likely was one of those guys. And I heard in my ear what Dave said 3 months ago about Isaiah Likely is what's going to be different? Why he's the same coach? Why is he going to be a full-time player and a featured target in the offense now? And then that's kind of what it looked like. And this is also like, it's not a big move down. It's just, I had him at Harold Fannin. I moved him behind Harold Fannin. I had him in round 7. I dropped him down to the end of round 8. So the 8-9 turn. Okay. But I think also the Malachi Fields ascension matters a little bit too, because if it's Malik Nabers and no other wide receiver that matters, then Likely can be the second target on the offense. He might still be, but he's got a little more competition than we thought he did.
There were 16 snaps that we could call first team offense snaps, 14 with Dart, and then the two plays that Dart missed because they were checking him out for a concussion, that two more. And so of those 16, Likely played 6. I totally agree with the Malachi Fields part, and it's obviously a little concerning when he doesn't start for you and only plays 6 of 16 snaps with the starters. Are they trying to hide him? Do they think they're being cagey? Or what is it? And so I understand why people are going to be turned off by what Likely did. It's more of what I saw from Tua that made me move Pitts ahead of Likely in full PPR only. And that is once, and it's just funny, Drake London leaves the game and all of a sudden Kyle Pitts gets targets. London only played 2 snaps. Who cares? But whenever Tua's pressured, what have we seen the last 2 years? He's getting the ball out as fast as he can. Well, 2 of those targets went to Kyle Pitts on slip screens. And so if that's going to be a thing for however long Tua is the quarterback, that's easy receptions for Kyle Pitts. So they're back-to-back in my rankings. I flipped it where Pitts is ahead of Likely in full PPR. I'm still encouraged by Likely, though. All the reports out of camp for the Giants have been very positive for him. And I still think there's a pathway for him to be, okay, maybe not far and away the number 2 target getter in that offense, but still the number 2 target getter in that offense.
Basically, all the plays every play that Likely was in was a pass play. He basically sat out all the run plays. I would recommend
That's what Michael Wilson did.
Yeah, I would recommend the Giants mix it up, or they're probably going to be a little predictable offensively.
I can't know.
That sequence when Jackson Dart got destroyed.
I wasn't watching. Yeah, I wasn't watching it live. But yeah, people are talking about that a lot, though, because if Tracy screwed that up, people were, they're going to take him off of
that third. Was on Dart, totally.
What was that?
That was all on Dart.
What, you think he got the protection wrong or something?
I mean, you see what Tracy was doing. Tracy wasn't in the block. He was running around. He saw the guy come free.
We don't know if Tracy messed that up and was supposed
to. It was either Dart messing it up, or Tracy got the play call wrong.
Yeah.
We're never going to know.
Well, they're never going to put it on Dart. But if you watch what happened, it's pretty clear Dart didn't have any idea what was happening.
Well, yeah. Right. But Tracy said, I think he said something like, that's never going to happen again. You can watch my tape. There's hardly any of that or something like that. But, you know, Cam Scattaboo did not play on third down. And he did last year. And he was on pace for 60 catches in his healthy games, the games with his normal snap share. And he did not have that role this year. And so people seeing Trimone Tracy completely blow that block, that's the way they interpreted it anyway. And they're thinking, oh, this is good news either for Singletary or for Scattaboo. But I think we're probably making too much out of, you know, 2 series in one game in a lot of these cases. It's all we have. It's better than nothing. But yeah, I mean, this is what I keep talking about. Like, you want to knock Travis Etienne for not being the third down back? Well, right now, neither is Quinshon Judkins or Cam Scattaboo, based on what we just saw this preseason. Like, there are so few guys that have that role. Breece Hall, I don't know if he is. Obviously, he's hurt, but Isaiah Davis didn't play. But Breece Hall played like every snap. I think Javonte Williams is probably going to be the third down back, but I'm just saying, you look at these running backs. Once you get to round 4, who's the third down back? Pretty much nobody. Maybe Swift.
Or just take the third down backs 3 rounds later.
Or take the first and second down backs that have goal line work on top of their role, and they're going to be the feature back, the 1A, whatever you want to call them, and don't worry about it.
Yeah, could do that.
Half the time, these third down backs are in their pass protecting anyway. You don't get points for that. On the Scadaboo point, 16 snaps with the first team offense, referring to that again. Scadaboo played 5 snaps. Singletary played 4. Tyrone Tracy played 7. None of them played with the second team offense. Yeah. That's something I want to keep an eye on in future preseason games here, because if they're going to have a 3-man rotation, which I mean, I'd be shocked if they did it. They did it for this game, but that would just really make things worse for all Giants running backs.
Right. We're not there. We're not there yet, though, just to be
clear. No, I didn't move Scadaboo down. It's just something to take note of.
All right, Heath, Mekhi Lemon and Omar Cooper, 2 rookie wide receivers that are fallers.
They are. I was really hopeful that Mekhi Lemon at some point would make this whole Dontavian Wicks thing go away. But we got some speculation from Eagles beat writer Jimmy Kemsky late last week that Dontavian Wicks is, in his opinion, going to win the wide receiver 2 battle. We talk about it a lot. Lemon missed so much time in this offseason, early in the spring and then in training camp. We don't like it when rookies miss time. So he is behind KC Concepcion for me now. And I think outside of the first 9 rounds.
Cooper is not even draftable. He's playing behind Isaiah Williams.
Cooper is off my draft board. And we talked about Dejon Stribling. We didn't talk about Caleb Douglas, but he had a great catch.
Yeah.
Denzel Boston, Malachi Fields. I would take all those guys. And I'd take Adonai Mitchell over him, and I'd take Jacoby Lane over him.
Jacoby Lane look good?
Yeah. Oh, Cooper's somebody that we could come back to during the season. Like, I could see him late November into December being a small factor for the Jets offense. There's no reason to draft him.
Dave, what about Carnell Tate? Carnell Tate is on your fallers list.
It doesn't really have much to do with him as much as it does with Cam Ward and how that Titans offense looked against a lot of 49ers backups. And it wasn't great. The offensive line wasn't great. The first drive was okay for Cam Ward. After that, he had 2 more drives. He was 3 of 8 passing. His ADOT was 3.8 yards. He was a mess. He was off target a bunch. And if he isn't taking a step forward, then how can we expect Carnell Tate to have even a solid rookie year? So I had him, maybe I was a little too aggressive by putting Carnell Tate in that late round 6 range. But now I'm taking a step back into round 7, and I reserve the right to move him even further back. Just because I really don't know what to expect from Cam Ward at this point. In fact, I don't have any reason to be optimistic about Cam Ward or the Titans passing game at this point.
I wish I could remember the draft that we just did where I think I took Carnell Tate. Jamie, you have this weird memory for all these.
You could always just look at the draft board.
Yeah, I'm trying. I have like 50 drafts on my CBS drop down. Was it? Oh, yeah. Okay. It was our spotlight draft. And I took him in round 6. Let me see. I think that was my number 2 receiver because I went McCaffrey, Hampton, Higgins, Javonte, Lamar Jackson, Carnell Tate. Like, love my first 5 picks. But I got to the point where those top 26 ish wide receivers that I talk about all the time, they're all off the board. And I only have 1 wide receiver in a 3 receiver league.
Yes.
Yeah. And I don't regret. I have no regrets going McCaffrey, Hampton, Higgins, Javonte Williams in round 4, and then Lamar Jackson, who I can't pass up in round 5. No regrets. But I looked at Carnell Tate. I just didn't feel great about it. But, you know, Brian Thomas Jr. went the pick before. I could have taken Marvin Harrison Jr., Jordan Tyson, just looking at the guys who were drafted. I think Chris Godwin probably would have been my pick if I could do it again. Cortland Sutton, Josh Downs. Not a great, not my favorite area of receiver if you need your second guy. If you need your third guy, it's fine. But it's okay. You have to be loaded somewhere else. I think I'm loaded at running back.
I think just something to keep in mind with the Titans, and I don't disagree with Dave. It was concerning because you got to worry if Cam Ward can actually get it. But Brian Daboll's trying to teach something different to Cam Ward. He's trying to implement a system that Cam Ward is not yet used to. And so those things are going to look ugly at times. You'd like it to look pretty at times, but it's also something like what Caleb Williams went through with Ben Johnson last year. Like it's basically training the player all over again. And so it's going to look ugly. And again, may still look ugly for weeks, for months, maybe the season. Could get Brian Daboll fired. Could get Cam Ward in the Kyler Murray treatment, you know, where he's, you know, out the door the minute they get an opportunity to. But hopefully he grasps it and starts to feel comfortable with it. And those players and that system can start to look like you want it to look. So that's one thing you want to see, like, growth over the course of the next, you know, game or two, depending on how long they play these guys.
Sure.
And then also what you see out of joint practice. Like, some of these things, like when you see, you know, I say this every year, like when you see quarterbacks throwing interceptions in camp, like some of that is they suck. Some of that is they're trying to make throws that they're not used to making. They're trying to run plays that they're not used to doing. And that's, I think, what we saw a little bit with this. To Dave's point, ugly that it was against 49ers backups, ugly that it looked as bad as it did, should make you a little bit concerned about Carnell Tate, because maybe you don't get the high-end production that we're hoping for. But let's just see what happens over the next couple weeks.
I mean, he was missing slant throws and out routes. So.
Yeah, no.
I mean, maybe that's a timing thing, but they've been practicing for a couple of weeks. Why would that not be up to speed?
Again, not to disagree with what you said. I'm just saying, like, you know.
I agree with you on a lot of what you said, like about interceptions in camp and all that stuff. Everybody making a big deal about Jalen Hurts throwing an interception on social media, like stuff like that. I can separate from what might be real. Same thing with there was an intentional grounding call on Cam Ward in the game. Like, his reads were covered. He didn't want to get blasted. He lawn darted the ball. It's a preseason game. Who cares?
No, I care. Because he almost fumbled that ball at his own goal line. He's got to stop doing that garbage.
No, well, again, sure. Like, no, but I didn't want to bog this down with that whole thing. But, like, you want to see, obviously, Ty Simpson come out and take full grasp of the offense that he's running.
Great example.
Versus Cam Ward a year in.
Yeah.
And, new system, new coordinator, all those things. You want to see the easy throws and the easy things get done, but it's still like he's processing something different, and hopefully, again, he's capable of grasping it.
Mm-hmm. You could throw Mendoza in that same exact conversation.
Carson Beck was great in his preseason debut.
There you go.
All right. I think it's safe to say, and then you guys, again, disagree if you want, but
I don't think we're disagreeing.
No. You don't even know what I'm going to say.
I'm probably going to disagree.
Cam Ward had the worst week of anyone in the preseason, basically. I mean, anyone who didn't get injured.
Yeah, probably Jeremiah Love.
No, like I said, anyone who didn't get injured.
Oh.
Yeah. It was bad, but again, we're not going to freak out over it. Do you guys think that Jerry Jeudy in Cleveland and Calvin Ridley in Tennessee are going to be annoying enough that they are going to hurt the value of the players that we actually want to draft?
No.
Not.
Okay. More fallers. Let's go to Jamie's fallers. Christian McCaffrey, where'd you move him to? Drake London on this list?
Just one spot.
Okay.
Dave kind of alluded to it. Tua looked as bad as Cam Ward did.
Yeah.
So
Tua did look bad. Where'd you move McCaffrey to?
I moved McCaffrey to 12.
12th overall. Okay.
12th overall.
And where's London?
London is now behind AJ Brown, so just dropped him one spot, but a couple spots in the overall ranking. So I think he's like 22.
And Jordan Tyson was the other guy. Tyson or Lemon?
Tyson.
Guys, Tyson or Lemon?
Tyson.
I think I have Tyson higher. Okay.
So London is the tough one, man.
I didn't move him yet, but it was ugly from Tua, and we saw the Kevin Stefanski offense in full force with what, four of his five passes went to Pitts.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I don't even remember the other one that didn't go to Pitts. Felt like they, but yes. But again, London was off the field. As Dave mentioned, he played two snaps.
Yeah, but it's two snaps. It's to me, it's just kind of like a funny thing and not realistic of, oh, you can't draft Kyle Pitts because Drake London was, again, not playing. Yeah, I'm not going to make that argument after two snaps. I want Michael Penix back. That's what I want.
I was going to say maybe Tua would have looked better if London had been playing. But yeah, even Tua was like, I've got to be better than this.
Did the Broncos play their starters? Defensive?
They did. I'm pretty sure
I remember seeing Sertan out there on one play. So yes.
Who?
Sertan. Sertan. Man, that sucked. Yes, Patrick Sertan.
Yeah, they played Stidham because Bo Nix wasn't quite ready, but they played their starters, I think. Courtland Sutton had a big game.
It's no reason to panic yet. It's just, again, when you're close between a player or two, there are reasons to upgrade or downgrade. And I was close between AJ Brown and Drake London, so I moved right ahead.
This brings us to the pronunciation of the day. And this actually kind of
cracked. I'm going to need help with the cornerbacks in Denver, apparently.
Yeah.
Riley Moose.
It really kind of cracked me up. When I was watching the replay of the Panthers-Bills game, and the Bills kick it off to the Panthers, and they say, Trevor Achan on the return. And I go, oh my gosh, we actually have three Achans. I completely forgot. What could you imagine?
So Trevor changed his name too?
Yeah, well, they're brothers. So
be hilarious if he was like, no, I'm
Achan. Yeah, they didn't change it. He was saying it's always been that way, right? We were just saying
yes,
it wrong.
Yes, yeah. It didn't change it. But it would be so – could you imagine if, like, there are a couple injuries in the backfield and now Trevor Achan gets pushed into a starting spot, and I'm like, who do you guys like this week? Achan?
It's
itself.
LaFleur questioning Love's availability. Like, that's brutal.
What do you mean?
Well, there's another LaFleur and another Love.
Oh, LaFleur. Oh, right. Okay.
Oh, touchdown there.
Yeah, whew, way over my head.
You guys miss one. Which one, the name that you said on a show, Adam, that made me think of, the team name. We picked the draft order for a league, and there was one that used the term TDs a little bit inappropriately, and Adam didn't catch on.
Oh, man. Let's talk about Jonathan Brooks, actually. Chuba Hubbard out. Jonathan
Brooks. Adam just like skips right past that.
Yeah, let's skip that. I don't know if there's anyone else that you wanted to discuss, but it was starters versus starters for the most part for part of that Bills-Panthers game. And Brooks, he had two bad runs, and the left guard, I think, got destroyed on both of them, and it was not their starting left guard. I think Rob Hunt was out. So, yeah, I don't know. Is there anything to talk about here?
I think we should all just be thankful that Jonathan Brooks' ADP didn't go up two rounds because of a 60-yard touchdown run.
Good call. How about the fact that the Vikings...
Can DJ Moore not call out defensive backs to try and hit him, please?
Did he do that?
Did he do that? Did you not see the play?
No.
I saw the play, but I didn't see him calling anyone out.
Oh, it was like an Oklahoma drill in real life. He called the guy over. He was come hit me.
Oh, wow. I guess I was watching his ankle. How about the Vikings running backs? Where all offseason, it's like, oh, Jordan Mason going to be the starter, this and that. And actually, Aaron Jones was basically the starter. And then they pretty much split evenly, Jamie. But we've been calling Mason a sleeper. Do you still feel good about that call?
Yeah, for sure. I think it just means you shouldn't be discounting Aaron Jones because, again, Mason's not going to play on passing downs. You want to talk about the clear example of a first and second down guy. He's got 28 receptions in his career. That's where Aaron Jones wins. And it's kind of been the drumbeat from the Vikings, you know, media prior to the start of training camp was, hey, this just makes a lot of sense. Let's play Mason on first and second down, play Jones on, you know, keep him fresh because he still can give you explosive plays. It's just why run him into the ground at 31 years old? So it was always going to be a split. It was never Jordan Mason's going to be this elite level player. He has the chance to produce as a quality fantasy option, because I think the touchdowns will be there for him. But there's a reason why he's still being drafted where he's being drafted and should be drafted, you know, in the middle rounds.
I think my concern with what we saw was if it's Jordan Mason on first and second down and Aaron Jones on passing downs, that's we can work with that.
Yeah.
If Jordan Mason's sharing first and second down with Aaron Jones and Aaron Jones is playing passing downs,
right,
then it's really difficult.
Yeah. And that's what happened. I don't know if Jordan Mason got any snaps on passing downs, but they both had three carries. Okay.
Let's take a look.
I thought Javonte Williams had a good preseason week one because Jadon Blue had 8 carries for 19 yards. Malik Davis had 7 for 39. I don't know. Jadon Blue showed nothing other than what apparently he does decently in training camp and in practices, but I wonder if Malik Davis is going to end up being the handcuff there.
So Jadon Blue?
What's that?
wasn't Malik Davis the fourth running back to come in?
I don't know.
I think Phil Moffa played before him.
Yeah, I don't know who's gonna, like, this is the worst. This is one
go
of the worst.
Go get James Conner, please.
Backup running back situations in the NFL. It's got to be. I mean, it's up there. Maybe I'm crazy, but it looks that way.
I mean, Jackson Dart thinks it's the Giants.
Does anybody still care if Jordan Mason played any passing downs?
I do.
Third and seven, he was in. He pass protected. It was good. Second and eight, he ran left guard for a yard.
I've only got one more. That's good. I've only got one thing to say. Well, that's probably not true, but one thing that I can think of right now. Tedderell McMillan played 55% of his snaps in the slot. Jalen Coker, like 45%. So they move those guys around, and I love that. That's awesome. Also, I have a segment here called Gary Drafts an Awesome FFT Team. And I thought it's kind of like, if you have a late pick, you can pull this off. This was a 10-team league. I think it's possible to pull it off in a 12-team league, except for the quarterback tight end combo probably. But he went James Cook, Chase Brown, Devontae Smith, Zay Flowers, Lamar Jackson, Sam Laporta. I'm not sure you're getting Lamar Jackson around five in most drafts, but this is a 10-team league, so you could. Tony Pollard or Parker Washington at his flex. And he has Jonathan Brooks, Josh Downs, Alec Pierce, Ray Davis, and Brock Purdy. That is such an FFT team. And he said he got a D on the website he drafted on. I was like, I love this team. Cook, Chase Brown, Devontae Smith, Zay Flowers, Lamar Jackson, Sam Laporta, Tony Pollard, Parker Washington, Jonathan Brooks, Josh Downs, Alec Pierce, Ray Davis, Brock Purdy. I love it. You guys,
one rooting for you and Heath Bettmore.
Absolutely.
So Heath, you got to let him shave for the.
I think, I start growing it after the family function. There's going to be.
When is the family function? How do you not know when the family function is?
I keep forgetting to ask. Doesn't matter. It's in January.
No. But if it's January 1st, you're fine.
No, it's not.
If it's January 31st,
it's not.
You're screwed.
It's after the regular season. It's like mid-January. Look, it doesn't matter. These are important.
Well, it does matter because the bet may come down to week 18, in which case then you should have to start growing the beard immediately.
I'm not doing that. No, it's going to after. This is the same outcome. If I grow it after the event.
No, this is exactly what you do.
It's the same outcome.
Flamboyant, any bet you want, Devontae Smith will outscore Zay Flowers. You name the stakes are the words that you said. And then immediately you first start qualifying when he's going to outscore him.
This is
if
show business.
His quarterback stays healthy and in games he plays a certain percentage of the snaps determine. And also I'm going to alter what we're betting, and I'll grow the beard a little bit later unless something comes up in February. Oh my gosh, what if my wife wants to go out to dinner in March? There's no way that you are going to do this. I'm not making the bet because you won't do it.
We do have
how much growth do you have right now?
What?
How much facial hair growth is this right now?
2 or 3 days.
Two or 3 days.
Yeah, you can't really see it because of the ring light. Yeah, we have to have a few carve outs for what if my wife wants to go out to dinner in March.
Keith, it's March Madness, man. I can't have a beard.
All right, we gotta go.
Wait a minute. What's Heath doing if Devontae Smith outperforms Zay Flowers? I've lost sight of this because everybody's so focused on the beard.
He's donating $500.
What I offered to do if Adam would make a bet and keep it was give $500 to St. Jude, but Adam doesn't like kids and he doesn't want to help.
Jesus. First of all, we never said anything about me keeping the bet. The only thing was I had to make the bet. I didn't have to keep it, right? That was.
You remember when Adam didn't shave three lines in his head?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. All right. I can't go ballistic anymore. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow with another episode with kind of a cheat sheet if you missed any of the position previews or catch up on what you need to know. We'll talk to you then on Fantasy Football Today.
Paramount Podcasts.